Morning. It's great, isn't it? Well, I'll try and look at you all at the same time. Our Father, thank you that here in Deuteronomy, Moses says, "The Lord is my life." And Father, you are our life with all its grandeur, with all its blessing, with all that you pour into us. We thank and praise you for what Jesus has done and therefore how we can live. And pray we will live as those who've been granted freedom by the name of Christ. Amen. My name is John, just in case I haven't met you. I'm part of the ministry team here. And I'm normally here on Sunday mornings once a month because Nathan likes to go to St. David's. And normally I'm at St. David's. So here I am today, and he's at St. David's looking after the folk there. We are at the penultimate sermon on Deuteronomy 30. And today, choose life and freedom. Choose life and freedom is the call of Moses to us. I'm going to begin with perhaps something that is not quite PC, but it's a reflection on my own light mark. My own inabilities and failures as a father. When my daughter was a toddler, we used to call her Miss Independent. She, even as a toddler, would disappear as fast as she possibly could wherever and whenever we were. And the day we took her to Westfield Parramatta, and if you've been there, that's quite a large complex, we were sure we were both holding a hand. And we were looking at something, we turned around and she'd gone. Now, we found her again, praise God. But this was Joanna's want. She would disappear and she was so quick, far quicker than her slow old parents. But because of this propensity to wander, we did something that got lots of approbation. We bought her a set of reins. Not only did we get comments from her, which were not quite as articulate as other parents who'd look at you as if you'd come from Mars or something. How dare you put reins on this child? I'm standing here today to tell you she would not be alive if we had not put reins on her. It was an act of love and mercy, and strangely enough, at the age of 34, she still loves us both. We had to restrict what she thought was her freedom for her good, for her good. And as we come to Deuteronomy 30, Moses sets before the people the choice. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Choose life. As our loving Father, God knows what is best for them and for us. He knows what life and freedom is, because he made us and he knows what's best for us. And today in Deuteronomy 30, I've just selected three ingredients of the life that God offers for us, that he wants to form us and frame us. And they are identity, security, and destiny. Identity, security, and destiny. So first then, let's have a look at identity. I think the flavour of our own culture could be reflected in the words of a very well-known old song. And the theologians Keith Richards and Mick Jagger were the ones that wrote it. "I'm free to do what I want any old time. I'm free to do what I want any old time. So love me, hold me, love me, hold me." And in another context, we'll ask Duncan to sing it. Thank you. Keith Richards and Mick Jagger sang it, but apparently Dua Lipa, who is something might be known by the contemporary generation. Who's heard of Dua Lipa? Just to see. Two, three, a few. Okay, well, that's good. No, okay. She apparently has sung it too. But this is the spirit of our age, and it has been since Mick and Keith were young, like me, ancient hundreds and centuries ago. This is the spirit of the age. I can define my own identity. I can say who I am and what I want to be. We continue to see that continue to explode in our society and with some of our friends and with, for some of us, some of our family. I can do what I want. I can be who I want to be. And as Moses addressed these people on the verge of entering the promised land, He gives them a loving warning. We're not good at that, are we? I was not good at it as a dad. But God gives us a loving warning. There are consequences of choosing to reject the parameters God gives us and gives them. There are consequences for all of us who choose our own self-defined freedom. Verse 17 and 18. If your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you'll certainly be destroyed. Very sobering, isn't it? You will not live long in the land you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. Clearly, obedience to God's command is a good thing. It's a good thing. We've been seeing throughout Deuteronomy, the law and obedience is good. It's a good thing. It provides safe parameters in which the people can live the best of all possible lives and enjoy this awesome freedom that God has given them. This is who they are. This is their identity. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land. He swore your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord is your life. It's not a humdrum, miserable existence. It's not, oh, I've got to obey this, I've got to obey that. It's life God gives us. Glorious, awesome freedom. There are people, and you know this well as we've been studying Deuteronomy, they've been freed from slavery and extinction at the hands of the Egyptians. It's a terrible existence in Egypt. It's not, oh, we'll be okay, we're fine, we're managing okay here. They're in danger of dying, and Pharaoh is about to commit genocide before God intervenes. It's a terrible, enslaved, a horrendous existence with no freedom. Their identity as a people is those who have seen the character and the love and the grace of God countless times. And they're inheritors of this promise of the God who will never let them down. That is who they are. That is their identity. Moses says, you are who you are in God. And freedom is found in obeying him, for he's trustworthy and faithful. Indeed, Moses calls on all created order to act as witness to the God who cares, to the God who provides, and the God who made us to live the life he offers. My question to us, to me and you, is who are we? Who am I? Who are you? That issue of identity. Hear clearly today that we are a new people. We are new creations. In 2 Corinthians 5, the Apostle Paul writes this, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. We are new people, individually and corporately, in Christ. Like the Israelites of old, in fact, so much more, we have been rescued from the consequences of our own rebellion. By Christ. And he calls us to obey. To love me is to obey me. To obey me is to love me. And he gives us the Holy Spirit. They didn't have Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, but God gives us Holy Spirit to empower us and enable us to follow him. We know him. But even more, even better than the fact that we know him, is we are known by God. We are known by God. He will never say to us who follow Christ, depart from me, I never knew you. We are known by God. And how precious is that? But there's more. We not only have a new identity like the Israelites of old, we are safe in the arms of our grace-filled God. And it is this security that's the next ingredient in our God-given freedom. Identity and now security. Verse 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, you may also be aware, and particularly, well, if you're not, you can always come and start Promise to Fulfillment next Sunday at 2:30 with us. But in the history of these people, time and time again it was demonstrated that they didn't trust God. They looked for their security elsewhere. When they got to the shore of the Reed Sea after they'd escaped Pharaoh through the ten plagues that God had sent, and then they escaped at the tenth plague as they put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts, they escaped and landed up at the Reed Sea. And there at the Reed Sea, they were stuck, can't cross the sea. And Pharaoh and his army is storming up behind them, and they cried out, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die?" Hear the irony. There were no graves in Egypt. Plenty of graves in Egypt, and plenty of you died there. Were there no graves in Egypt, Moses, that you brought us here to die? Where's their trust in God? Now, I must admit, perhaps for you and me too, sitting there with this massive army behind me behind us and this incredible ocean before us, I understand. And yet God is merciful again. And he provides them a way through the Reed Sea. He kept them safe by the miracle as they crossed on dry land. And Pharaoh was destroyed. But the other incident of many that I'd pick is the one I think is the most horrendous. Is a case of the golden calf. Now, I don't know if you remember, but Moses was up on the mountain with God receiving the Ten Commandments. And while he was down below, the people made an idol. They got together the gold and they formed it into a golden calf. And here's what they said. "This is your God, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." It's Exodus chapter 14. "This is your God." It's palpably untrue. You know that. It's plain. They've just made this thing, this cow. Probably still hear it mooing. And it's made out of gold and they're worshiping. "This is the God who brought you up out of Egypt." Our God is the one who holds the power over life and death. And he demonstrates his mercy time and time again. He's shown his power and his character. And as they head into the land, as they stand on the verge of going into this land, he promises them security. They'll be safe there. This is the land he promised, the land where they can be safe, their children can be safe, they can work safe, their livelihoods are safe, they can prosper if they choose obedience, which is life. See how both identity and security are so closely intertwined. They're God's people rescued by him to live for him and with him in a land that is given by him. But as we know, the land will hold forth many enticements. The Israelites are not farmers. They haven't learned to farm. So where will they go for advice on how to farm? And if that advice includes prostitution and false gods and idols, although they might like to think that is freedom, it is actually enslavement again, heading back to slavery. Last week, Nathan reminded us of the power and the pull of idols. We're surrounded by them. I think he said they're not always hanging on the walls of our houses necessarily, but the question we need to ask ourselves is, where do I look for my security? We ask, first, who am I? Secondly, where do I look for my security? My abilities, my power, my stuff, anything that replaces the primary place of God in our lives is slavery. My superannuation. Where do I look for my security? We're free. We're freed by the death and resurrection of Christ. So will we trust him with our future? Will we trust him, particularly today, with our children, with our grandchildren, and in the case of some of us, our great-grandchildren? Will we trust him with our jobs? Will we trust him with those in our family who are sick, who are dying? It's that issue that brings us to the final ingredient. Final ingredient in freedom is destiny. Destiny. Verse 16, "I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him and keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're inheriting to possess. And verse 19, thanks. Now choose life. Choose life. It's what we've taken as our theme for Deuteronomy. Choose life so that you and your children may live and you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he'll give you many years in the land he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Where are we heading? That's a question of destiny. Where are we heading? For the Israelites, their immediate destiny was to inhabit the land, to live in obedience in the land God had prepared so carefully for them. He'll bless them and he'll give them many years in that land. But the pressure of the immediate suffocated the promise of the future for them. It wasn't long before they were expressing their freedom in words that denied the promises of God. Not too many years later, in Judges 21, we read, everyone did as they saw fit. Everyone did as they saw fit. Let's pause for a second here. Just pause. God has done everything possible for them. Everything possible. All creation marvels at what God has done for them. Wow, God is awesome. His patience, his provision, his protection. And he holds out a future for them, a future experiencing his favor. But they have better ideas. And remember that very first verse in Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. It's not too tough for them. What I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. Do you know the destiny God has for you? On Wednesday, this week, I'm going to conduct a funeral. The man who died knew God and was known by God. He knew his destiny, and he has asked me to read and preach on John 14, where Jesus promises a home with him in heaven. He knew where he was going. Do you? The world, it can't promise anything like what God has for us. It promises nothing beyond death. It leaves us without hope. As my non-believing friend says, and it's so sad, he says this, it's kind of like a mantra. He says, we live, we die, who cares? That's his mantra for life. I want to say to you, with all the power that God has given me, God cares. God cares for you, and God has a beautiful future for you. Because we were enslaved by sin, and because this whole world has chosen to go its own way, he gives us his son to die in our place, to solve the problem of our own making. A guy called Randy Stonehill wrote a song a long, long time ago, and I would like to quote it. We're all like foolish puppets who, desiring to be kings, now lie pitifully crippled after cutting our own strings. Please, brothers and sisters, do not be fooled by the glitter and glamour of this world. Please don't be distracted by the promises that this world cannot keep. Our God has done everything necessary to give us life and freedom, a new identity, that is, we are known by God, an eternal security, we're safe in God, an imperishable destiny, we will go home with God. A destiny that actually starts right now. And so I finish with the words of Jesus. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Amen.